Good morning. Good Friday morning to you. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ed Ackerley, and I'm joined today by my wonderful campaign manager when I ran for mayor this last time, the great Sixto Molina. Good morning, Sixto.
Good morning, Ed. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for being the good retired cop that you are and stopping by Estrella Bakery and getting those fantastic Estrella donuts. Those were fantastic.
If you like calories, that's a place to go.
I like calories. You were saying how packed the place was on a Friday morning.
Yeah, right? little tiny store on Grande Avenue was about 12, 13 deep this morning.
That's amazing. Well, this is a Jump in Tucson. As you know, for those of you who've been listening the last couple of shows, we have a unique format here. I host Fridays and Mondays. Mondays, we talk about the University of Arizona. Ted Maxwell hosts Tuesday. He talks about engagement. Grant Kruger, our good friend from Union Public House, talks about food and politics related to that on Wednesdays. And Tom Moulton has been in talking to us about attractions. And Felipe Garcia was just here for the previous show, and he's going to work with us on getting Visit Tucson involved in that Thursday show. And today is business success stories, and there's probably no better person to start with on this show today than the great Russell True. Good morning, Russell True.
Oh, good morning. I'm flattered.
Well, we're gonna spoil everybody and tell everybody that you just got back from Dallas. You were at the Dude Ranchers Association meeting. Something interesting happened there, didn't it? I think something interesting happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were inducted into the Dude Ranchers Hall of Fame, is what happened.
Well, and I think they'd probably be upset where we were if you say Dallas, because I kept saying it, and they pointed out, no, we're in Fort Worth, and don't Dallas up our Fort Worth. So
okay.
I learned about that while I was there.
Well, congratulations to you for a lifetime of work with you and your family and the Dude Ranching business. So let's talk a little bit about White Stallion Ranch. What a beautiful place out in West Tucson near Saguaro National Monument West.
Yeah, we've got 2 miles of common fence. We're the north boundary of the national park on the west side of the Tucson Mountains. It's the longest privately held boundary with a national park in the U.S.
That's amazing. And you have a great relationship with them too, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. We sure hope so. We love having them there, obviously. There's 25,000 acres that we get to ride in, and it remains like our ranch, untouched, unspoiled.
Yeah. So the White Stallion Ranch is a beautiful ranch, and for those of you that have ever seen it or been there, you know what I'm talking about. You can get lost in history. So let's talk a little bit about the history of White Stallion Ranch and your folks and how it all got started back in the 60s.
Well, I mean, the Dude Ranch goes back, the ranch goes back to turn of the century.
Right.
It was actually a squatter's ranch. They were out there on unmanaged, ignored federal land and created a little cow outfit and probably got run off around 27 when the Taylor Grazing Act was passed. And then it became, it was homesteaded in 36, passed through some owners, 1945. Dude Ranching started when Max Zimmerman, owner of the largest liquor store in the world, Zimmerman's Liquor, one square block on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. So he builds the Dude Ranch building, expands some buildings. Dude Ranching gets started. He sells it to a couple of folks, and our parents, my dad came home to a spring blizzard, Denver, Colorado. He'd been born in Wyoming, raised in Montana. That was the tipping point. He came to Tucson, looked at everything he could figure out he might be able to pull off, and 4 Dude Ranches were for sale, and he picked White Stallion. Then he had to talk my mom into it. And her famous line was, well, if I can look at those mountains every morning, I can, when I wake up, I'll let you throw our lives away.
Yeah, and of course, you were born into the business, and you've been working there for, well, all your life, basically.
Yeah, never left.
Yeah.
Went to school at U of A and commuted like a job and just kept working. Loved the business, loved the place.
You were gonna be a great finance major and go off into the big world, and you stayed at White Stallion Ranch, and now you're the big money guy there.
Well, I have a finance degree. I never thought I was going to be the big finance guy.
Yeah.
In fact, I thought I would be managing small amounts of money for the rest of my life, because that's kind of what Dude Ranches specialize in.
Right. So, you know, the Dude Ranch, where its location next to the Saguaro National Park there is pretty awesome. But over the last few, in a decade or so, there's been a lot of growth and development around you. And so the ranch is where it used to be out in the middle of nowhere. It's kind of surrounded now by some development. And of course, they're going to be widening the road and do some other things there. So tell us a little bit about how the ranch is able to stay kind of in its pristine form, even though there's development around you.
Well, it's really because of the way we're situated. We really only have development on our north boundary,
right.
And that's on the north side of Twin Peaks, which is being widened and should be, I guess. We've got the Tucson Mountains that we own on the west, or on the east, National Park all across the south, and the quarry property for the cement plant is all on our west side. You know, our parents just had the vision. They realized they sacrificed and struggled, took 200 acres, turned it into 3,000, and gave us a future.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like to tout the fact that USA Today gave you that designation a couple of times, the readers voting, you being the White Stallion Ranch being one of the best family vacations in the country. You've gotten first place a couple of times. Tell us a little bit about those amongst many other accolades that you've gotten over the years.
Yeah, 2019, we were voted by readers of USA Today the number one family resort in the United States. We've also been top 12 all-inclusives in the world. I just had someone tell me they watched us on Most Incredible Hotels in the World. There were only two in the U.S. So we've had we're up again for the USA Today Top Dude Ranch. That's about to go out to voting. We've had a lot of lists, and that means a lot to us, but I think being number one on TripAdvisor for 10 years in a row in Tucson for all hotels, resorts, spas, et cetera, you know, that's a pretty consistent record, and that's our guests telling our story for us.
And they're coming in from all over the United States, but also all around the world. Tell us about the flagpole out front, the flagpoles out front, and what you use those for. And that's kind of a unique thing when you go out there to see all those flags.
Yeah, well, it's a big part. You know, our parents really worked hard on that, so we have a long history. And we kind of followed Tankaverde around and the other great dude ranch in Tucson. And they always went out and grabbed the international and traveler, and it makes it more fun for us, but even more importantly for our guests. They're in a little UN at the Dude Ranch. So, yeah, we have a semicircle of flags. Parts of the year we might have 7, 8, 9 flags up, and we also carry them horseback into our rodeo every Wednesday. Whoever's in-house, we bring them in.
That's fantastic. We're speaking with Russell True, one of the family members, the owners of White Stallion Ranch in northwest Tucson in the Marana area, and the great success story of the ranch over the last many decades. We'll be back in just a minute with some more discussion about White Stallion Ranch. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. I'm in studio with my good friend Sixto Molina, who is a good historian on the all great things Tucson-oriented, having lived here all of his life. We're here with Russell True from White Stallion Ranch in northwest Tucson. And what an amazing story of success that the White Stallion has had over the years. So, Sixto, take her away.
Yes, Russell, I have a question. As a guest, what would I expect to do as far as activities at your ranch? What do you do for your guests?
Well, you know, dude ranches are all about horses. You know, the dude ranchers where I just came from their convention say it's 6 H's, horses, hats, hospitality, heritage, heart, and honesty. So you notice horses are first, and that's the central experience. But we realize a lot of people don't want to ride as much as some others do. And so we have a lot of other things. And so every guest experience is going to look a little different. Some are going to ride the hair off the horses. Others are going to go shoot. We do 22 shooting black powder. We do 45s with replica guns from the movie Winchester 73. We do archery. We do walking archery, which is sort of golf with a bow and arrow. We do axe throwing now. That's new. We have jeep rides. We have hiking. We have the largest private location, the highest number of rock climbing climbs on a private destination in the U.S. We have 35 different climbs from beginner on up. And all very expertly guided top rope stuff. So every guest experience is going to look a bit different.
And you have some entertainment at night, too, for guests like Loop and other people that come in and do some great shows.
Yeah, unless something goes wrong, which rarely it does. We have entertainment every night of the week, from art class to Western show that Loop Rollins puts on, to line dancing, to cowboy singers, to probably our most popular, the Critter Show.
Right, right. You know, I got a couple of grandsons who are now 11 and 10, but back when they were like 8 and 7, we were out at the ranch with you, and Loop was doing his Saturday show and slinging that rope, and of course they've had their experience with the boys' chorus. And just a unique thing, the ranch is so cool and so awesome. They wanted to give Loop a little tip, and so they were way over at the cabin in the room, and they could see Loop way over there still doing his thing, and it was a great moment of maturation for those boys. They got to walk all the way from the room, all the way back across the bridge, all the way over, and thank Loop for being there. And that's kind of the cool thing about the ranch. It's just so family friendly, and you can let your little guys go and feel like they're going to be safe, and it's going to be, they had a great time. Matter of fact, I have to tell you one other little funny thing. My oldest grandson, he's now 11, but when he turned 7, he was going to have a birthday. We said, you can go anywhere you want to go. You can go to Disneyland, you can go to SeaWorld, you can go to Grand Canyon, you can go anywhere in Tucson. What do you want to do? And he chose White Stallion Ranch. Our grandsons love going out to White Stallion Ranch.
Well, we love hearing that. A discerning kid.
Yeah. So, speaking of family, tell us about your family and how they're involved in the operation. Your sons and your soon to be CFO CEO daughter, and your wife and your brother and his wife, and all the family.
Well, like most ranches, you know, we are a family deal, and my brother and I both grew up there. I was 5 when our parents bought the ranch. My brother was not even yet born, so he's lived his whole life virtually at the ranch. And he and his wife and my wife and I, all there. We live on the ranch. We're full-time. My older son, Stephen, who's in his mid-30s, and his wife are full-time. In fact, we lost our executive chef, so Steve threw the chef coat on, and he's cooking. And then, of course, my wife runs our corral, toughest job on the ranch, and horses and humans are always an interesting mix. And then I've got a 5, almost 6-year-old daughter, so I'm starting all over again, and she's about ready to take over, if you ask her.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, going back to the safety and just the great family friendliness of the place. She runs around that place like she does own it, and she is amazing. She's part of the entertainment. She's phenomenal.
She's something. Yeah. She thankfully takes after her mother.
There you go. Hey, you know, White Stallion Ranch, we're here with Russell True, one of the owners of White Stallion Ranch. So, Russell, tell us a little bit about the history of movie making and commercial making and shows that have come from White Stallion Ranch over the years. It seems like almost every month there's somebody out there wanting to do a commercial or do something, including we filmed the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus Christmas program out there. So,
well, as I was driving out this morning, there was 6 cars setting up a shoot out at our front entrance. I don't even know who they are. They might be just trespassers with cameras. I'm not sure. But yeah, we started out when we got to the ranch in 1965. 3 years later, they started shooting High Chaparral. So I grew up around that. They were there for the whole 4-year run of the show. We've had over 200 TV productions shot. Everything from 3 different Vogue shoots to Marlboro commercials to my favorite personally was a professional wrestler series of commercials. That was just absurd and fun. But 31 feature films have been shot there, and everything from all the way back to the late 30s, Arizona, the blockbuster William Holden, Gene Arthur movie, to George Clooney, more recently, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. We're just perfectly located. We're just a little north of Old Tucson, which was a huge movie destination. We're an hour drive, meaning Tucson, a day drive from L.A., and we have those classic backdrops, those rugged, beautiful mountains and the sorrel cactus, and it's just, we're just the right place to go.
And it's pristine desert, too, that there's nothing in the way between you and the mountains there. So it's beautiful scenery for movies, and lots of commercials have been filmed out there.
Yeah, yeah, and we have a place called Movie Pass. At least 18 of the films have been shot up there and all kinds of other stuff. So, you know, we have done, if you name it, we've done it, all the way to a swimsuit shoot for Sports Illustrated.
Right. We're going to do another show later on about the history of dude ranching in Arizona. So that'll be an upcoming episode of Jump in Tucson. But tell us a little bit about your personal expansion and True Ranch Hospitality and the management of some and ownership of some other dude ranches in Southern Arizona, but also in the West. What's the future of True Ranch Hospitality and you and your enterprise?
Well, you know, Tucson was the dude ranch capital of the world. There were 127 dude ranches here at one time. When we came in 65, there were 24. There are now two. And Arizona had 338 at one time, and now we're down to, depending on how you define a dude ranch, 12 to 15. So we've seen them slip away, and I could go on about the reasons, but we just sort of stumbled on Tombstone Monument Ranch. It was in a foreclosure, and they reached out to us to buy it. And my partner Jay Wells and I, we just began a journey of every dude ranch that we have put into our little collection has either been in foreclosure or coming out of a long closure. We reopened OTO, Montana's first dude ranch, three summers ago after 83 years closed. Mm. And so we're not trying to save dude ranching. We're trying to save dude ranches. And we've got six in our little group, and we're working on getting one in Wyoming and just keep dude ranching a viable destination for families and everybody else. It's not just a family vacation.
Right. It is corporate outings, and even the site itself is great for weddings and events. Of course, we had a Wake Up Tucson event out there not too long ago. That was pretty awesome to have that. So the destination lends itself to a lot of different activities.
Well, at White Stallion, we do a lot of corporate stuff and work really well with Trail Dust Jeeps and almost any of our activities are used by those. But we also have a meeting room, and we host retreats and sales meetings and do all the things. And Tombstone also, because of its location, does a lot of that. Destination groups go to all of them.
Right. So if someone wanted to find out more information about White Stallion Ranch and the True Ranch properties, where would they go and who would they talk to?
Well, White Stallion Ranch is whitestallion.com. Everybody goes to websites now, and the information's pretty comprehensive. And True Ranch Collection has all the rest of the ranches. So trueranchcollection.com or whitestallion.com.
And for the future, what is the future of dude ranching in the country? You just came back from the convention. Is it strong? Is it coming back after COVID and so forth? Or is it still tough sledding for the dude ranching industry?
You know, post-COVID was a huge spike, and for mm-hmm. obvious reasons. People wanted to be uncrowded, outdoors, out of the way. So dude ranching had a huge spike. It's sort of leveling off again. I think dude ranching will always be around because there's a place for it. And is always also going to be, on the other hand, threatened by development or escalating rural land values is a threat. So, but it'll survive.
Yeah, it's fantastic. If for those of you that have been there, if you haven't thought about something that you could do in Tucson, it's a great place to go. I know when I first discovered it with my wife and our kids, we go out there a couple times a year now and bug you and follow you around.
No one wants to follow me.
Well, we love White Stallion Ranch, and Russell, we appreciate all you do for the community and what we've done over the last few years for Rito Racetrack has been amazing. But thank you for being here today. We've been with Russell True, the owner of White Stallion Ranch in Northwest Tucson. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley, and this is the Friday edition. We talk about business success stories. In studio with me is my good friend Sixto Molina. Good morning again, Sixto.
Hey, good morning, Ed.
And our next guest today is Chef Robert Ramos of R&R Family Kitchen, the famous R&R barbecue that many of you might know. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how Robert Ramos became a chef and how he became a mainstay at the Tucson Rodeo and catering galore all over Tucson. So you went to Sunnyside High School.
I did.
And then you got into the business. You told me the other day that you were working at a couple of fast food places and being a manager and doing that for several years.
Yeah, my very first job was at KFC. And then one of the guys who was a GM for Burger King came in one day and they said, you know, if you guys are looking for good help, this guy would be a good manager. And, you know, so I interviewed with them and then I ran 6 Burger King restaurants for many, many years.
That's great. And then you went on to work in the hotel industry and be a chef at a major hotel?
Correct, at the Hilton El Conquistador. And I worked with Chef Yon for, I don't remember how many years, but I owe a lot of my success to that chef.
Yeah. You were saying that one day you were watching him present a meal one time, and you said, I can do this. I can do this catering thing. And that's kind of how R&R was born,
yes,
right?
Caterpillar had rented, they were doing a big event there, and I was the one who was preparing the meal. And they were charging $99 a plate, and this was, you know, 20-some years ago.
Right.
And my kids never ate school lunch, so I just decided, you know, I can prepare meals for schools, and I can do a better job than the Hilton can, and decided to go into business for myself.
That's kind of how I met you, too, kind of through the back door, two ways. One is your family and your company did the meals for my little boys when they, you know, my boys are now in their early 30s, but at the time they were going to elementary school and junior high, and you guys were feeding them a couple times a week through that school lunch program. But then my father-in-law discovered your barbecue, and I've been addicted ever since. It's amazing how fantastic your barbecue is. So you're pretty famous for your R&R barbecue, are you not?
I wouldn't consider it famous, but popular.
Well, that's famous because tell us about the rodeo experience that you go through every February. You really buckle down at the rodeo time, don't you?
Yes, and if I remember right, we're going on, I think this is our 16th year that mm-hmm. we've been an official sponsor and the official caterer of the Tucson Rodeo.
And so you do several things. One, you feed the rodeo volunteers and the committee and so forth every day. You're feeding them a couple of times a day, but you're also feeding the general public as well.
Correct.
And so what kind of a setup do you have out there at the rodeo that people might be familiar with when you're out at the...
Well, we have a big 20 by 10 food booth that's on the east side of the arena. And we have our grills out there and our chefs... grill and prepare our baby back ribs and our burgers and our chicken, and you know, we sell our pulled pork out there and our famous pulled pork nachos. And we according to last year's numbers, we served about 1,100 fans a day last year, and we feed about 400 employees and committee members a day while we're out there.
That's pretty impressive. And you also have a pretty unique level of engagement with lots of companies here in Tucson. You know, you've done schools, you've done retirement homes, you've done special homes, special needs homes, and so forth. One that intrigues me is your contract that you have right now with the Amazon plant out at Valencia and Kolb. Tell us a little bit about that constant work out there and what you provide.
Well, we provide 3 different entrees a day. Amazon came to us. It was about 2 years ago, and we were just so busy, we just couldn't take on the contract. We couldn't commit mm-hmm. and told them we were just too busy, but they just kept pestering us, and they tried other purveyors mm-hmm. That just didn't work out and just couldn't provide the service or the meals that they wanted. So they just offered us a great deal to go in there and feed their staff, and we're going on a year mm-hmm. now, and we just enjoy doing it. We sell out every day. Mm-hmm. And continue to bring new entrees every quarter mm-hmm. and have a great team that delivers and serves and just very appreciative of Amazon and Canteen, who's also a big part of this. And yeah, we were just truly blessed with another great contract here in Tucson.
So you're listening to Jump in Tucson, and we're with Chef Robert Ramos of R&R Family Kitchen. I'm with Sixto Molina here, who is our co-host today. So
Robert, I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
What is your specialty dish that you like to prepare?
My specialty dish is going to be any of our smoked meats. Our pulled pork outsells everything, probably, 10 to 1, but I've created a lot of things with our brisket and our baby backs and our beef ribs. But if I had to put one single dish that I truly, really like to prepare, would probably be our brisket plates.
That's great. I had some of your salad at the Coaches for Charity MLK tournament. Do you make your own salad dressing?
Yes, everything is made from scratch in-house. We bake our own breads, make our own dressings and our own sauces. We have a staff that comes in at 3 in the morning and prepares everything that day. Nothing's pre-made. We get deliveries 4 times a week. We only buy fresh meats. Nothing's never frozen. We put all of our meats in at night to smoke overnight. And then the customer gets it right out of the smokers that the same day for delivery to all of our... we do anywhere from 8 to 15 caterers a day. And roughly do right around 8,000 meals a week right now.
Well, from personal experience, I had your food for the first time last week, and everything was outstanding.
Thank you very much.
The salad dressing caught my eye because it was extra delicious, and I had never had a salad dressing like yours.
Well, thank you. We're old school, and I've always believed, and this comes from Chef Jan, is less is more. So the less things that you put into your recipes is better than being so much creative and add of different additives and spices and stuff that just doesn't go with the traditional salad dressing. So we've kept it very simple.
It's very good.
So in your career, then you have really perfected the art of catering, and so you offer a full range of catering from a small office party of 10 or 15 people all the way up to 400 or 500 people. You can handle all that in between, and so you're a pretty well-versed caterer, correct?
Correct.
And what is one of the more exciting catering jobs you've done in the last couple of years with, 200 or 300 guests where you did something pretty amazing?
Well, we service over 300 corporate accounts a month here in Tucson, mm-hmm. from your big Raytheons to Bombardier to Geico to all of your big, healthcare corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And
you were down at St. Mary's yesterday, right?
We were. St. Mary's orders quite a bit, and to all their different departments, the cath lab orders quite a bit. But right. The cath lab does a lot of intense work with heart valves and stuff. So
right.
we feed them pretty good.
Right. And so when you do say a wedding or something, you'll cater at a venue. You can help create all that venue space for them, or you can
correct. We have a team that can design everything as far as from your setup to your linens to your floral arrangements to dance floors, everything. And what makes us unique is we don't have wedding catering packages. So when we meet with a client, the first thing we do is we do free tastings. So we'll prepare the dish so that they can see it and taste it and see how it's going to be presented to their guests. And we get their color themes, what they like, allergies, stuff like that. And we custom design a dinner for their guests based on those things.
And you also service a lot of, as you say, 300 folks a month, different companies and organizations where you cater, 10 or 15 or maybe 40 people for a lunch or a dinner. You do a lot of car dealers, right? You do.
Correct.
Car dealers are big, especially on weekends, Saturdays, and so forth. And doctor's offices and professional offices are also a big part of what you do, correct?
Correct. And those are all during the week.
Right. And so if someone wanted to get some catering, they would go on to your new website that's going to be, you got one up now, but you'll have a new website up this week that people can go to and easy cater and order what they need, correct?
Absolutely.
And what's the if someone wanted to dial that up, what is that website address?
It's rrbbqtucson.com.
rrbbqtucson.com. And there they can see all the variety of things that you have available to you from you know, a simple little barbecue of barbecued pulled pork or brisket or whatever, all the way up to China and major chefs cutting in front of you all the major catering that you would do for a very high-end event, correct?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we're talking with Chef Robert Ramos of R&R Family Kitchen. Sixto Molina and I will be back, and we'll ask him about some of the unique things that R&R is going to be doing in the next couple of months here, and their growth potential and their success story. This is Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley, joined with Sixto Molina as my guest host today. We want to remind you that coming up this week, coming next week, we have U of A Wonder Day on Monday. I'll be hosting that. On Tuesday, our friend BBG, Ben Bueller-Garcia, will be sitting in for General Ted Maxwell, and he'll have a good show. And then on Wednesday, Grant Kruger from Union Public House will be talking about the tamale bill, the interesting state legislature proposal in the tamale bill. He'll get into that kind of that juxtaposition of restaurants and politics. And then Tom Moulton on Thursday will have our friends from the Tucson Reed Park in to talk about their expansion and the things that are going on there. And then I'll be back a week from today with business success stories. So we're talking this morning with Robert Ramos, the chef and owner at R&R Family Kitchen and R&R Barbecue. And so let's talk a little bit, Robert, about a couple of specials that you have coming up in the next couple of weeks. You'll have Six Can Dine for $89. Tell us about what that project is, that order and pickup kind of process that you have.
We did this pre-COVID, mm-hmm. you know, and it was very, very successful because we price entrees and sides and drinks together, which is far cheaper per person than eating out at a restaurant because food costs is still way out of control, mm-hmm. and it's just too expensive for a family to eat outdoor in the community. So these meals come with two entrees, two large sides, fresh baked bread, and your beverage that'll feed six people, all for $89.
That's pretty good. I was at a restaurant with my my grandson's birthday. We went to a little pizza place, and for five of us to have pizza, and of course they had to get their tokens and stuff, it was $150 for a couple of pizzas and a couple of half-hour play cards. $150 for, and then they wanted some Dippin' Dots for dessert. And I said, let's go across the street. We went across the street to Cold Stone, and shucks, that was $50 for just three people that got Cold Stone, and it was $50. So it was a $200 night just for a little family of five going out to celebrate a birthday. So Six Can Dine for $89 is a pretty good deal.
It's a great deal, the best value in the city.
And if you order the pulled pork and the brisket, oh my goodness, you've got yourself a pretty fantastic meal. Going back to what Sixto said earlier, when you brought the food down to the MLK Classic on Monday, I couldn't stop eating your rolls. Those things, those homemade rolls that you have melt in your mouth, they are an amazing thing. And you make those fresh every day,
yes,
too.
Yes, they're a special yeast dinner roll.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very cool.
Very popular.
And then you also have an small business office special that it's a 30 Can Dine for $3.99. Tell us about that.
That also was made for to compete. Well, not necessarily to compete with all the Grubhubs and your food delivery services, but you know, still that was just got too costly. So we put together this for small offices of up to 30 people, where they can also get a main entree. Whether it's barbecue, Mexican, Italian, Greek, we have all of our different cuisines. Three side dishes, those same yummy rolls that you talked about, and beverages, all for $399. So, you know, if you do the math, I think that's probably right around $13 a person for all that food, which is far cheaper than your Grubhub or Uber Eats or 30 people going to dine at a local restaurant. It's probably going to cost them about $600 to feed 30 people.
And speaking of delivery, you guys actually deliver the food to the office or
correct.
Take it out and get it to them, and it's all put in hot boxes and so forth. So
yes, we do not partner with any food service delivery companies due to the fact that they don't have our specialized heating equipment to keep the food super hot and super fresh. So we do all of our deliveries ourselves.
And you're coming up on the rodeo. We talked about that a little bit. You'll be there for several weekends as you're working on the rodeo?
From the 17th through the 25th of February.
That's a lot of pulled pork and a lot of brisket going out the door. And Sixto was asking you earlier about for catering, you have, like you do at the rodeo, you have grills and you can set up out just about anywhere, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And you also, you were telling us that you've got a contract with the sugar schools, too, to provide some catering for them as
well. Yes, we just signed the contracts with the Tucson Sugar Skulls, the indoor football team, and we'll be feeding the teams on game day. And we'll also be doing special caterings throughout the year for them, yes.
Well, I got to compliment your cuisine. What we had was awesome. What you don't know is that there was some food left over.
Yeah.
And Ed and I delivered what was left over to the Tucson Fire Department Station 1 firefighters late at night, and they gladly took it.
It was pretty funny. We had a little bit of spaghetti left over and some meat sauce, and I think we had a little bit of salad left over. We took it down there. It was so good. People were, as I told you, at 8 o'clock, they were coming in still wanting more of it. And you gave us so much, by the way. Thank you for being overly generous with your donation. We really appreciate that. And I just couldn't see what, and it was still hot because it was in those darn hot boxes, and it was amazing. We took it down to the fire department, and at first, of course, you got two guys, Sixto and I, coming up in the middle of the night knocking on the door. They're wondering what the heck is going on. Who are these two crazy people? But then we told them what we were doing, and they really appreciated we gave them a half a tub of spaghetti and some salad, and they said they got guys there that are around the clock eating, so that was kind of cool. So
that's fantastic.
When we knocked on the door, the guy, the firefighter that was in the fire bay, looked at us like, what do you guys want? Who are you guys? And then we told him, and he was still a little bit suspicious. Then I happened to know one of the firefighters there. I dropped the name, and then he seemed to get a little more comfortable with us.
We wouldn't recommend that to just anybody in the community taking food to the fire station, but Sixto and I had an experience with that particular station. We got to go out on a day-long ride with the fire station folks there, and it was fantastic. We had a great experience, so we wanted to repay him a little bit. We thought that was a good way. Well, your family is involved in our family kitchen. You've got your son and daughters working with you, so tell us about their careers and how they kind of were born into the family business as well, and how they help you out.
Yeah, ever since they were walking, we took them to our commercial kitchens, and they helped around, whether it was cleaning or learning how to prep, and we taught them the knife skills and proper sanitation, what the health department looks for, and how to store things and how to label things. So they got highly trained right from the get-go. So now all four of them work in the business. They have certain specialties that they do for the company. My son runs a drug rehab center here in Tucson, provides all the meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, along with my youngest daughter, is also full-time there. And my middle daughter and oldest daughter work full-time with the company. They do a lot of the cooking and the prepping. Janine is a personal trainer and also does all the specialty meals for specialty diets, for the firefighters, weight trainers, models. So, if you're looking to really get healthy and, drop 30 pounds fast, she's the one that'll make your meals for you and prepare them.
And that's really a unique service that you have, providing the menu service of especially for schools. They have to be specific to the requirements of the federal, for federal rules and state rules and so forth. Pretty amazing. Well, we really appreciate you coming in today, Robert, and for the good things you and your family do and the delicious things you and your family do for the community. Look up at rnrbarbecue.tucson.com. Okay. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. We'll thank you very much for joining us today, Sixto, and we'll be back with you on Monday with stories from the University of Arizona, and then away we go with Jump in Tucson on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. The Voice.